Daf is Daf Ches. So we got to the very top of Ches Amar Aleph. The Mishnah tells us, Ein bein modeh hana mechavero, the modeh mimenu meichel, eladrishas haregel v'kelim shein osin ven ochel nefesh. What's going on here? If a guy takes a neder that I can't get hana from you, I can't get any hana. If I take a neder I can't get hana with respect to food only, limiting to food, so what's the only nafkamina, says the Gemara, it says the Mishnah, eladrishas regel, whereby I'm walking in your property. So if I took a nether from you entirely, so I can't walk in your property, if I took a nether only from food, then I may walk into your property. That's one afkamina. And the other difference, the other in bain, is v'kelim sheinosin ben ochel nefesh. If I only took a nether from food, I'm allowed to use kelim that are not related to food. Clothing and things like that I could use. But if I took a nether from you of all type of hana, then I can't use any kelim from you. So the Gemara says, what?
About drink?
Drink, the same thing. Drink would be seemingly included under Maicho. So the Gemara infers from this, Hale Inyan Kalim, with regards to Kalim She'osin Behem Ocha Nefesh, if it's items, pots and pans that are used to make food, then Zeviz Eshavin. Both would agree that both types of Nidarim would create an Isser of using these types of pots and pans. So then the Gemara says, Drishas Regel. So walking on the guy's property, trespassing. So Gemara says, why is that a problem? Holo kapti inche. If I took a nether from you, or you took a nether from me rather, you can't get enough from me, I don't care if you walk my property. Nobody cares if you walk in the property. Trespassing is not such a big deal. If you cut through my backyard to get to shul, no one really cares about that. So why is that going to be us if we're walking in my property? So the Gemara says that Amar Rava Hamani, who is the author of the Mishnah, it's the Shita of Rebbe Eliezer, the Amar Vitor, if a person's mevater from the guy who took a nether, doesn't make a difference, it's still Aser, Bimoder Hana. It's Aser, even though the owner of the property doesn't care, there's a din across the board, it's Aser for the Moder to get any Hana. Fine. The new Mishnah tells us, Ein Bein Nidarim L'Nedavos. The only difference between a nether and a Nedava is, El Asha Nedarim Chai Bach Ryusan, V'Nedavos Ein Chai of Bach Ryusan. A Neder, you're Chayv. If you lose an item that I established, I took a Neder to bring a certain item, and I lose that item, I need to ensure that I get a replacement for that Neder. But a Nedava, as we'll see in the Gemara, Nedava is specifically on one object. If that object is lost, that animal's lost, I do not have to replace it. I'm not Chayv Bach Ryusan. That's the difference between a Neder and a Nedava. But Halin and Baal Ta'acher, Zev is Zev Shavin. With respect to Baal Ta'acher, the Isser of delaying it, they're both equal. I mean, if I take a nether upon myself, there's a machlokas in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, when Baal Ta'acher kicks in. Baal Ta'acher is delaying giving a nether, a nedava, a karban, tzedakah. There's a list of 15 things in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah. If I wait too long, I violate the Isser of Baal Ta'acher. Some say, what point do you violate the Isser? Some say, Shlosh Regalim, that's how we paskim. Some say, all you need is Sukkah. Some say, it has to be in order. So there's like six different shitas in the Gemara, but just for very simple reasons, let's understand, assume that it's three Regalim. Three Regalim pass, and you violate Baal Ta'acher. So the Gemara says, again, Hol Le'inyon Baal Ta'acher, Zev Zeh Shavim. But they're both equal, both a Neder and a Nedava. If I wait three Regalim, I will violate Baal Ta'acher for both types of karbanos. So the Gemara quotes a Mishnah now. Tanan Hasam, the Mishnah tells us in the Maseches Kinen, Ezehu Neder, what's a Neder? Ha'omer Hare Alai Ola, I say it's upon me, Begavra, I need to bring an Ola. That's a Neder, what's incumbent upon the individual. Ezehi Nedava, Ha'omer Hare Zu Ola, where it's a focus on the Chefs, on the object. So a Neder is on the Gavra, and then the Nedava is on the Chefza. So Ma Bein Nedarim LeNedavos asks the Mishnah Kinim, what's the difference? Nedarim, if they're Mesu, O Nignivu, O Avdu. If my nether, which again, nether's upon me, a lie, if the animal I'm trying to bring for my nether dies, or gets stolen, or gets lost, Chai Bach Yusun, I'm responsible for replacing it if it gets lost or dies. But Nedavos, if it's Mesu, or Nignivu, O Avdu, it dies, it gets stolen, or it gets lost, Eino chayv bach yuson, because nedava is where I'm saying this animal I'm dedicating for an ola. If this animal is lost, I never took upon myself to replace it. So for nedava, I would be off the hook. Menahani mili, how do I know this to be the case? The Tana Rabbanan, the Braisa tells us, v'nirtzalo lechaper alav, the pasuk says. V'nirtzalo lechaper alav. The whole pasuk is on the side here. It says, V'samach yado arosha, you place your head on the rosh, ha'ola on the ola, a neder is an ola, and a nedava is an ola, v'nir talau l'chaper alav, on him. What's alav on him mean? So says Rabbi Shimon, explaining the pasuk, Omer esh she'olav chay b'achriyus. So if it's alav on him, then he's chayv if it gets lost or stolen or dies. V'esh she'ein olav, something that's not incumbent upon him, like a nedava, eino chay b'achriyus. So he's not responsible to replace it if it dies, gets stolen or lost. So my mashma, how is this inferred from the pasuk olav? So Amar Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi kevan d'amar alai, since he said it's upon me, the nether is alai, kiman d'toyna akatve damit, as if it's weighing down on his shoulder. So a nether is alav, alai, and he's responsible to pay if it gets stolen. Excuse me, okay. This next part of the daf is going to be very hard. Okay? The rest of the Amadir and Amad Beis as well. So we'll try to take it slow. The Mishnah tells us, Ein bein zav haroa shtei rios leroa shalosh ela karbon. The only difference between a zav, a man who sees something, a certain emission, he sees it two times, versus if he sees it three times, the only difference is that he brings a karbon. So after a man sees a ziva two times, so then if it's on one day or it could be two consecutive days, says Rashi, he's tamei and has to count shivanikya 7 days, he's tamei. Now, if he sees it three times, so then he also has to bring a karbon on top of that. That's the way the Mishnah tells us. So the Gemara infers from this, hola inyan mishkav u'moshav u'sviras shiva zev zeshavim. But with respect to being matame mishkav, so if he's, let's say, lying down on a bed or a moshav, a chair, couch, so he's matame that, what he's sitting on, and even it's, let's say, 10 layers, there's 10 pieces of clothing that he's sitting on, all 10 of them are going to become tame. Now, it's very important to know there's different types of levels of tumah. There's avatumah, and then there's rishon latumah. Avatumah is the source, and Rishon is already once removed. What's the difference between an Av and a Rishon? You really don't need to know all this, but it comes up in Rashi. You may as well learn some of the basics of Tumah Vatara. So an Avatumah has the ability, the way the Gemara quotes it in the beginning of Baba Kama, the Gemara talks about Avos and Toldos. Avos and Toldos Nizikin, Avos and Toldos in Melachos Shabbos. There's also Avos and Toldos in the world of Tumah. So the Avos have the ability, the Avatum has the ability to be metame four types of things. Maichel and Mishta, food and drink, and then also Adam and Begadim, man and Kalim, clothing and objects. So Avatumah has the ability to be metame all four of those categories. Food and drink, man and clothing. Rishon Tumah, which is one step removed, only has the ability to be metame Maichel and Mishta, food and drink, but it does not have the ability to be metame a person nor kalim. And the easy way to remember that is because food and drink get dirtier than a person and kalim. I mean, I would wear the shirt a couple times, even though it may have gotten dirty, but if the food falls on the floor or drink falls on the floor, I wouldn't eat it. Food is much more susceptible to dirt, even spiritual dirt. Ramban actually compares spiritual dirt to physical dirt. Should we go on a tangent? I'm not sure.
Sure?
Okay, fine. So that, to explain why, there's a din of being machshir, food has to be huchshir before it can become tummy. So if I take an apple off the tree and something tummy touches that apple, so that doesn't become tummy. The apple has to first come into contact with one of the shiva mashim, water, honey, and so on. And after coming into contact with that water, it's now huchshir tumah, which the Gemara Nechulin says it's tchilas tumah, the beginning process of tumah. Now, if something tummy touches the apple becomes tummy. Why is the need for the liquid? Why does it have to be a medium of a liquid? So Ramban al-Tor writes, because just like if I drop a cookie in the floor versus dropping a wet lollipop, the wet lollipop is going to be much dirtier than the dry cookie. So to entuma, a food that's wet, that came into contact with water or the like, would be also more susceptible to tuma than something dry. So we see that parallel between physical tuma and spiritual tuma. Fine. Anyway, those are the categories of Av and Rishon. What's the relevance? So when it comes to Mishkav and Moshev, if you're sitting or lying down on 10 layers of Begadim, or sitting on them, all 10 are going to be Tameh, and they're going to be Av HaTumah, whereby if a person touches, if a person's a Zav sitting on some mattresses, then I go ahead and touch that mattress, I become Tameh, because all these mattresses are now Av HaTumah by him sitting on top of that, according to the Pasuk. So that's both the same if it's a Zav who saw only 2 times, versus if he saw it 3 times. Also, regarding Svira Shiva, both of these types of Zavim have to count Shiva Nikim. Okay, now the Gemara wants to know, Minahani Mila, how do I know this to be the case, the difference between 2 Re'ios versus 3? Gemara says, the Tanur Rabbanan, Rabbi Simai Omer, Rabbi Simai holds, Mona Kosev Shtayim, the Karutame, the Pasuk counts as of 2 times, and calls him Tameh. And another Pasuk says, Shalosh refers to Zav 3 times in the Pasuk, Vikaro Tameh, and calls it Tameh. So look at the Rashi who quotes the 2 Pesukim. Rashi, Maneha Kasav Shtayim, it's around 15 narrow lines up. Maneha Kasav Shtayim, the Pasuk is, Ve'ish ki yez Zav, that's 1. Mibsaro Zovo, that's 2. He's Tameh. So a person who sees 2 times is Tameh. Next Rashi says, Shalosh Vikaro Tameh. The pasuk that says Zav 3 times is as follows. Dichsiv Vizos Tiyeh Tumaso Bizovo, number 1. Rar Bisaro Ezovo, that's number 2. Ohichtim Bisaro Mizovo, that's 3. And the pasuk calls him Tameh. So the pasuk calls him Zav Shtei Rios Tameh, and Zav Shlosh Rios is also Tameh. So what's the difference between 2 or 3 Rios? So it asks the Gemara, HaKetan, how is this the case? Shtaim Latuma Vishalosh Lekarbon. After seeing 2 times, the Zav becomes a full-fledged Tuma, but after the 3rd Riyah, he's required to bring a Karbon. That's the price. So now the Gemara is going to challenge, maybe you could distinguish between 2 and 3 Riyos in a different way. The Gemara is going to reject it, but the Gemara is going to have a few suggestions. Ema, maybe Amar say, Shtaim Latuma, maybe after seeing 2 times, the man becomes Tameh, but Lola Karbon. He's not Chayiv in a Karbon yet. But once he sees Shalosh, after seeing the 3rd time, he's Chayv Lekarbon v'lo Latumah, but he's no longer Tameh, which of course doesn't sound very logical. So the Gemara says, Amris, how could when you're seeing the 3rd time, you lose the status of Tumah? It's a very strange Havamina. So Amris, Ad Shlo Ra Shalosh, Ra Shayim. Well, before you saw 3 times, you already had seen 2 times, which already made you Tameh. So what would make you Tower? So obviously that cannot be the interpretation of the difference between 2 or 3. Just as a thought, maybe the Havamina is like Paraduma. Paraduma, we have the Halacha, Tameh is Tahor, and the Tahor person is Tameh. Right? The person who does all the sprinkling, the whole process is Tahor. But after doing the process of Paraduma, he becomes Tameh, and when he sprinkles on the guy who's Tameh, that guy becomes Tahor. So everything switches around. So maybe that's the Havamina here. The guy's Tameh, but after the 3rd time, he becomes Tahor. And maybe after the 4th time, he becomes Tameh. Maybe it goes back and forth as a suggestion for the Havamina. But either way, the Gemara rejects that and says, no, that cannot be what the Pasuk had in mind. So then the Gemara suggests, Ve'emer, maybe it means, let's suggest, Shtaim Lekarbon V'lolotumah. Maybe after seeing 2 times, he's Chayv Karbon, but he's not Tameh yet. But once he sees Shalosh, Af Latumah. But once seeing the 3rd one, now he's Chayiv he's Tameh. So the Gemara explains, L'Saka Daitach, you can't think that you're Chayv Karbon before becoming Tameh. Because the Sanya, the Brisa, teaches us that V'chi Peralav HaKohen Lefnei Hashem Mizavo. And the Kohen brings the Kapara, the Karbon, in front of Hashem. Mizavo. Mizavo means mem from some of the Zav, not all the types of Zav, but certain types of Zavim, not all Zavim. Mizavo, some of them. Miktas Zavin, Mivin Karbon, Umiktas Zavin, Ein Mivin Karbon. Only some do, and some don't. And if we're interpreting it right now, that after 2 times, when he's a Zav for the 1st time, he brings a Karbon, that means all Zavim bring Karbonos. That can't be the case. So therefore it must be which Mizavo, which types of Zavim bring Karbonos, and which don't. HaKetad, Ra Shalosh, Mevi, Shtayim, Eino Mevi. The Mizavo, the way to split it up is after saying 2 times, you don't bring a Karbon, Eino Mevi, only after saying 3 times is when you do bring the Karbon. But then the Gemara suggests maybe, O Eino Ella, Ra Shtayim, Mevi, Ra Shalosh, Eino Mevi. How do you know? Who says that? maybe when you bring a see it two times, you're chayver carbon. But if you see a third time, maybe then you're actually potter from bringing a carbon, which is also, again, that same strange havamina, which the Gemara says, that doesn't make sense. Amris, we said, ad shelo ra shalosh ra shayim. Before you saw a third time, you obviously saw it two times. So once you're chayver carbon after two rios, you're not going to become potter after seeing a third time. So therefore, we reject it. Now, it comes out of this very complicated discussion here. There are two different sources how we know after two times a person's tameh, after three times he's now also chayv in the carbon. Before we had the pasuk that said mana shan shnayim we called the kara tameh, and then mana shalosh kari tameh. Right, the psukim that said two times and three times, that was the first source, that's Rebbe Simai. And now the second drasha of mizovo, only some of the zovin bring, not all of the zovin. Meaning the third three rios is chayv carbon, but not after two rios. So why do you need two different psukim teaching us the same halacha? So the Gemara says v'itzrich, you need both. Itzrich the Rabbi Simai, v'itzrich mizovo. Di midi Rabbi Simai, had we only had Rabbi Simai, the first one about the pasuk saying mana kasav shayin v'karutame, mana shalosh v'karutame. So why do we need Rabbi Simai? Because if we had di midi Rabbi Simai, havamina kikushin, we would have thought like all the questions we asked before, maybe split it up in a different way. So kamashmalan mizavo, that no, after two times is tuma, after three times is a karbon. And now the opposite way. Vi mizavo, had we only had mizavo, that miktas zavin mivin, vi miktas zavin ein mivin, so liya dana, I would not have known kama rios. There's no mention of how many. Maybe you should split between five and six rios. How do you know between two and three? So therefore we need kamashmalan de Rebbe Simai, that split of miktas takes place two versus three. Okay, we're good? Somewhat? Good enough to go? Okay, fine. Gemara now says, V'hashtad amris mizavo l'drasha. Now that we've established that the word mizavo can be used as a drasha, so now the Gemara wants to know, what about other appearances of mizavo? It says, V'chi yitar hazav mizavo my darshas bay. What's the drasha of this appearance of mizavo? So the Gemara says, Ha'hu mibarle that's needed l'chadatanya for the following brisa, V'chi yitar hazav l'chishe yivsok. So it's telling us that what? Look at Rashi to explain here. Rashi says it's his, there's like medium wide lines, there's two of them, so that second one. Ulchshe yifsok mizavo, ein tsarach litbol kodem svira, ela mishe yafsik yimna. You know, when it comes to a woman, she first needs to count shiva nakim and then goes to the mikvah. We learn from here the zav, he could, the moment he stops seeing, he could go to the mikvah immediately, and then he's allowed to count the shiva nakim. After that, that's what we're learning from the word v'chiyitar hazav, moment that the zav is tahor, he's able to go to the mikvah. Okay, then the Gemara says mizavo. The pasuk also says mizavo. What does that teach us? It says mizavo below mizavo v'nagol. Let's say the zav is both a zav and he's also a mitzora. He found the neged tzaras on him. The kohen declared him to be a mitzora now. So let's say, rough day, right? So now let's say he no longer sees the Zav. So the Zav has stopped, but he's still Tamei Tumas Tzaras. So one would think he shouldn't count Shiva Nakim for a Ziva. He should wait until he's entirely Tahor, even from the Mitzora. So the Gemara is Medayik, no. Once he's Tar Mizovo, I don't care if he's still a Tzaras. Once he stops seeing the Zov, he's allowed to count the Shiva Nakim yet. Now he's not able to be complete Tahor because still he's Mitzora. But once that Tzaras goes away, he's completely Tahor. You could get rid of the Ziva Tumah, even though he's still a Mitzora. And then the Gemara wants another Drasha. Even though he's Mitzora, he could still go to the Mikvah. And then the Gemara says, what about the word Mizavo v'Safar? The Pasuk says, it says, Mizavo and Safar, what's the juxtaposition of him being a Zav and then the counting? So the Gemara's Medayik, Limeid al Zav bal Shtei Re'ios. A man who sees two of these emissions, Shetoon Sviras Shiva, that he's a Zavo, he sees it two times, right? The pasuk says, V'chiyitar Hazav Mizavo, it says two times Zav. So after seeing two times, V'safar lo Shivas Yomim, the pasuk says, you need to count Shiva Nakim after seeing two times. So that's what we learn, that's the source of that halacha. So the Gemara wants to know, why do you need a pasuk for this? V'halo Dinhu, isn't this a Kal V'chomer that he has to count Shiva Nakim? You don't need a pasuk for this. What's the Kal V'chomer? in Mitame Mishkav Moshav, the Pasuk explicitly says that the Zav Baal Shtei Rios is Mitame Mishkav Moshav, which is a very serious type of tumah. Lo yeh ton tzviyah shiva. So certainly he should be mechayev 7 days as well. What's the need for a pasuk? So Gemara says that's not really a sound kal vachomer, because we have an example of someone who is mitame mishkav moshav and doesn't count shiva. Who is that? A shomeres yom keneged yom. A woman sees dam when she's not supposed to be seeing dam. So the lach is she waits a day, and if she doesn't see it, she's tahor. So even though she's shomeres yom keneged yom, that day that she sees dam, she's it's tochiach. You'll prove the care. We'll disprove it. Shemitama mishkav moshav. If she sits on a bed or a couch, she creates that tumas mishkav moshav. Yet eino tuna sviras shiva. She doesn't require waiting or counting 7 days. So we see that there's an example of something that's matami mishkav moshav. Yet there's no shiva nikim. So tuvah the zav. I would have thought, had not been for the pasuk, that even though he's tamei mishkav moshav, the baal shei rios shouldn't count shiva nikim. Comes the pasuk to tell us for safar, he needs to count shiva nikim after shtei rios. So then Gemara says, so too, afata al titma, don't be troubled. I'll say as well that afa pisha matami mishkav moshav, even though the zav is matami mishkav moshav, so too, you would think lo yehe ton sviras shiva. It shouldn't require shiva. Tamalomer mizovav v'safar, that miktsas zovav v'safar limed al zav baal. Some of the zavim are going to count, not all of them. Zav baal shtei rios shiton sviyas shiva, as opposed to zav after only one emission wouldn't count shiva nikim, but after seeing two times he would have to count shiva nikim. That's the chiddush of the pasuk. Amrlei Rav Papa Abaye. Rav Papa asks Abaye now. Maishna hai mizovo dimar bibe zav baal shtei rios, umaishna hai mizovo dimemaid be zav baal shtei rios. We had two different drushes to learn from the word mizovo. One mizovo was excluding, one mizovo was including. Mizovo by the carbon says mizovo, only some of these zavim are going to bring a carbon. We excluded the baal shtei rios that does not bring the carbon. But this last appearance of Mizavavo is including that the Baal Shtei Rios does count Shiva. So one Mizavo is excluding a Baal Shtei Rios from Karban, the other one's including him in the counting Shiva. So why would that be? Why is one including, one excluding? So answers the Gemara, Amar Lei, Yisaka Daitach, had you thought, Haile Me'ute, Hudase, if you thought that the second pasuk of Mizavo in the context of the Shiva Nakim, it was coming to exclude that a Baal Shtei Rios doesn't have to count Lishto Kraminei. The pasuk shouldn't say anything. Just stay silent. It should have just said, remove the word Mizavol. And I wouldn't have thought, I wouldn't have had a Havamina that a Baal Shtei Rios counts Shiva Nakim. So the fact that the pasuk is going out of the way to say Mizavol unnecessarily must be trying to go against what your thought your Havamina would have been. Again, the Havamina would have been, had I asked you, what's halacha for Shtei Rios, you would have told me that he wouldn't have to count Shiva Nakim. That's what I would have thought. Because just like a Shomer's Yom Kineged Yom, a woman who's Matame Mishkav Moshav, doesn't count Shiva Nakim, so to Azov, Baal Shtei Rios, even though it's Matame Mishkav Moshav, he shouldn't have to count Shiva Nakim. That would have been the base understanding. So why do they throw us off with the word Mizovo? Must be trying to go against our Havamina and include Azav Baal Shtei Rios, that in fact he is Chayiv to count Shiva Nakim. So the Gemara says, V'chi teima Asya Midina. Maybe you could have thought as a Havamina, maybe you could have thought from a Kal V'chomer rather, that he should be Chayiv Shiva Nakim. You don't need a Pasuk for this. We already addressed before that you couldn't have learned it from a Kal V'chomer because Shomer's Yom Keneged Yom Tochiach, that even though she is Matame Mishkav Moshav, she does not count Shiva Nakim. So then the Gemara says, V'chi Tema, Hami Baile Mizavav Lo Zavav Minago. Didn't we use the word Mizavav for something else before? We said Mizavav meant the moment he stops seeing his Ziva, he could count Shiva Nakim, even though he still might be, have Neged Saras on him. How could he use it for the pasuk two times? One pasuk for two different drashas. So the Gemara says, had the only drasha been Mizavav Lo Minago, Im Kein Lichtov Krav, the pasuk should have said, V'chiyitar Hazav. When the Zav is Tahor, then he could start counting. Who cares about any other type of tum of taras? V'lishok mizavol, Lishak Mizavo Lamali. What's the word Mizavo teaching me? Lime to teach me Alzav Bal Shteirios Shetaum Sviras Shiva. Okay, that was the very hard part I was telling you about. Everyone okay a little bit? Somewhat? Okay, I'll take a little break and then we'll do the next. The next mission is not as hard, but it's still a little bit hard. Guys awake? Need some Coke? Yeah, okay. Fine. Misha tells us now, Ein bein mitzora le muskar le mitzora mukhlat. What's a mitzora muskar? Wake you guys up a little. What's muskar versus mukhlat?
First 7 days, second 7 days.
Right. Doesn't have to be necessarily first or so. It could be sometimes the first, second, also be mukhlat. Mukhlat's decisive, where he's the Kohen decided that he is definitely a mitzora. And muskar is that first week where he wasn't sure. We're going to see, assess it after the full week, see if it changed shape or color at all. So muskar is, he's in that temporary stage, that limbo stage. And the mukhlat is where he's decided already, he's a vadai, a mitzora. So what's the difference? Ein bein mitzora muskar, le mitzora mukhlat, ela priya uprima. That's the only difference. What's priya? Prima, Rashi tells us, priya is exposing the hair, or letting it grow long, really. Shehi parua. And prima is ripping the begadim. So a mitzora mukhlat has to let the hair grow, and he also tears his clothing, as opposed to a muskar, which is that mitzora in this limbo stage, he doesn't have to let his hair grow long, nor does he have to tear his clothing. That's the difference between the two. Then the Mishnah says, Ein bein tahor mitoch hesker, l'tahor mitoch hechle. There's only one difference, really two differences. When a person becomes tahor after being in a state of muskar, versus becoming tahor after being in the state of mukhlat. What's the difference of that process of becoming tahor? The only difference is ella taglachas v'tziporim, about shaving their head and having to bring the birds of karbanos. So the tahor person who was a mukhlat who now becomes tahor has to shave and he also brings the karbanos. But a tahor from the mitoch hesker doesn't have to shave, nor does he have to bring these karbanos. So the Gemara says, however, hala inyan shiluach v'tuma. With regards to all the halachas of being sent out of the machaneh, both mitzvahs are sent out of the machaneh, and both mitzvahs have the same dinim of tumah. Menahani mila, how do I know this to be the case? The Tani Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak Kamei de Rav Huna, he taught, V'tiharo ha-kohen mispachas hi. The pasuk says, right, that he was tahor, and v'ki chibes begadav v'taher. So the kohen was mitar, the kohen looked at the mispachas and said it was tahor, and then it washes clothing, vitahar. So what's the meaning of that second pasuk, that second word, vitahar? So says the Gemara, it sounds like tahor mipriya uprima dimikara. Vitahar sounds like he was always tahor. Not that he became tahor, but he was always tahor, even meikara, even from the beginning. Now this pasuk, then it's important. This is the context of a mitzora muskar, who's in that limbo state. So Vitar indicates that he was Tar always, meaning he never had to follow the halachas of Priya Uprima. So the Gemara says, Amar Le Rava, Rava challenges this and asks, Elamiata, Gavezav, Dichsiv, Vichives Bigadav, Vitaher. So Hasam, I Vitar Meikara. Do you really think that the word Vitaher means that he was always Tar? By Zav, what was he always Tahor from? The Zav just became Tahor. So you're misinterpreting the word Vitaher. Ela Tar Hashta Mitame Kli Charis Behesi. Where the word Vitaher means, from at least in the context of Zav, he became Tahor Hashta. Right now he became Tahor from contaminating Kli Charis Behesi. Kli Charis can become tame if you move it. Hesed is moving a klicheres. If I'm a person that's tame, and I call it, if I move this klicheres, this earthenware pot, then I'm going to be metame it. But now that the zav went through the process, he's now tahor, he won't do this. Now, afa gav dehoder chazei lo metame limafreya. Even though later on he saw, he's not metame limafreya. What's the case? So the tahor, the zav goes to the mikvah in the morning, and now he's tahor. Then he goes ahead and moves some klicheres. He's tahor. Later that evening, he becomes tame, sees Ziva again, which now retroactively ruins his status of being tahor. But the Gemara is telling us it doesn't affect any of the kalim he touched in that interim from the morning to later that day when he saw this Ziva. That's what tahor means. That which he touched now remains tahor, even if he later on saw this Ziva. So Hachanami, here too as well, Lagabe Tzaras, tahor hashta milatame bebiel mefreya. Now this metzora is tahor. Let's say he goes into a house now. It's fine because he's no longer a metzora. But let's say later on when he leaves the house, he becomes a metzora again. So maybe you should say in that interim, maybe he was always lemefreya. He was always a metzora. And when he walked into that house should be tame. Pasuk says v'tahor. Now he's tahor, and there's no way to retroactively claim that he was tame.
Now he's actually tame.
Right, but no. Right now, the Gemara says when he goes through the process and he's tahor, and then later that evening he becomes tame again. We don't say retroactively, since maybe we should connect the new tras with the old tras and bridge that gap and say even though we thought he was tahor when he walked into the house, maybe he really wasn't. The pasuk telling v'tahor, he is tahor now, and you cannot retroactively undo that.
Then he was tahor, because now he's not tahor.
No, we're saying once he's tahor from the taras, now right now he became tahor suddenly. He went through the process. He's tahor now, and that tahara cannot be changed by anything that might happen later on. So now the Gemara says Ella Amar Rava. Rava says, so again we're looking for a source how we know that there's a difference between muskar and mukhlat. So Ella Amar Rava. Rava says mehacha from the following pasuk. Vatzarua asher bo hanega, the pasuk says. That tarua, who has the nega on him, and the pasuk continues to say, begadav yifrumim, he should tear his begadim, verosha yiparua, he should let his hair grow long. So who should let the hair grow long and rip the clothing? A person that the pasuk describes as tzaras, hatarua, asher bo hanega. What's the drasha? Mi shetzaraso tluya begufo, that's bo, that's on him. That his tzaras hinges on his body. It depends on his body, meaning what? Yotazer, to exclude a muskar, she'ein tzaraso tluya begufo, ela biyamim. The guy who saw the tzaras, and the kohen wasn't really sure the status, he doesn't have to change it as if the tzaras stays the same by the end of the week, so then he's tahor. All he needs to wait is yamim, days. His status doesn't depend on his tzaras, it depends on yamim. So the pasuk says, who is the one who needs to let his hair grow long and tear his begadim? Only a tzarua whose nega is bow on him, depends on his body if it changes colors or doesn't change color. Only that person has to tear begadim and let the hair grow long. But a person, again, who is not tali, a muskar, who is not tali on his body, but tali on yamim, he's excluded from tearing his clothing, letting the hair grow long. So then the Gemara says, Amar le Abaye, El Miata, that's the case. Kol yimei asher negabo yitma. So anyone, all the days, a person who is negabo, he should become tameh. So who should become tameh? Misha taraso tuliya begufo. Hu detan shiluach. This pasuk is referring to sending out of the machane. Who has to be sent out of the machane? Anyone who has a negabo. That anyone whose nega is tali on the body, changing the color or not. Only he requires shiluach. However, she'ein taraso tuliya begufo, an individual, a metzora, whose taras status doesn't depend on the body and the changing of size and color, then ein talon shiluach. So a mitzora muskar should not require shiluach according to this logic, according to this drasha. Of any time it says negabo, that only means a mitzora mukhla. So there's no source of a mitzora muskar requiring shiluach. V'chitei ma'achanami, maybe you'll say, yes, that's true. Maybe there's a distinction. Maybe in a chanami, a mitzor muskar doesn't require shiluach. But it can't be true, because we read in Medayik from the Mishnah that he does require shiluach, because the Mishnah says, v'hokatani, ein bein mitzor muskar le mitzor mukhlat, ela prio prima. The only difference is ripping the begadim and having the hair grow long. But hol inyon shiluach ule tmuya bibia, where the guards are sending out of the machane, and tumah entering into home, zev zeh shavin. Meaning the Metzora Muskar also requires Shiluach. So that Drasha of Asher HaNegabo cannot be referring to only a Tzaras Mukhlat, that's Tali on the body. It has to also include a Tzaras Metzora Muskar. So Gemara says, Amar Leh, Yimei, Kol Yimei. The extra word Kol comes to the Rabbos Metzora Muskar, the Shiluach. No. The word Negabo does indicate only a Metzora that's Tali Begufo. It does. And that's for that reason it says negabo only at tzaras and mitzora mukhlat has to let the hair grow long and tear begadim. And you would have thought also, since it says asher negabo, only a mitzora mukhlat would have to do shiluach, comes the extra word kol, that even a mitzor muskar also has a din of shiluach. Ihachi, if that's the case, asks the Gemara, taglachas v'tziporim, my time alone. How come the muskar doesn't require the shaving and bringing of the karbanos? The katani, as the Mishnah explicitly says, ein bein tar mitoch asker, litar mitoch heklet, ela taglachas v'tziporim. That's the difference between these two individuals. So Amar Bai says, Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, because v'yotza kohen el mechutz l'machan, and the kohen goes to the outside of the machan to go retrieve the mitzora, v'nei nir panega tzras, he sees, the nega got healed, it went away. So then he goes ahead and brings the carbon, as the Pasuk describes. So Gemara's medayik, mi shetarasa tluya b'refuos, only a person whose nega requires refuah, that's a mitzora muchlat, he requires refuah, as the Pasuk says, v'nei nirpa Hanega, that's the only individual who requires karbanos and requires taglachas. To the exclusion yatsa, to exclude zeb, she'ein tzeraso tuya berufuos el biyomim. As opposed to a mitzor muskar, whose status doesn't depend on refuah, rather this depends on days, that individual doesn't have to do taglachas, nor does he have to bring tziporim. Okay, we'll stop here. I'll give everybody 5 minutes to refresh themselves from Arif. Because that was a heavy daf. This is probably the heaviest daf in Megillah, I think. Zman Friday night, I don't know, what's this Zman Friday night? What time should we do it?